All right. Good evening, folks and insiders, mainly insiders. It's pretty late, but that's all right. We got the QS cast. We're going to be doing a back-to-back cast, but not literally back-to-back. We'll have one tonight, one tomorrow morning-ish.
Yep.
Yeah. So what's up, Tark?
What's going on?
Yeah. So yeah, for those, go ahead.
Yeah. No. We figured since we missed like last week or the week before that we'll just double up. And also really quick, as I announced before in the room, the vendor spotlight series is firing up again. I'm getting our guests in line.
Really, it's gonna really be good lineup.
Yeah. So. For those that don't know and who are new, every year for the past couple of years, oh gosh, maybe it's been 3 years now, Chaz. I think two years. This will be our third year. Yeah.
Yeah.
We started a vendor spotlight series where we bring on merchants, both large and small, to come onto the cast and chat with us, usually once a week. And we've had John Sasso, the CEO of Channel Fireball. We've had the owners of Card Kingdom. So I'm really excited. This year, just to give you guys a tease, we have John Sasso coming back. He's the CEO of Channel Fireball. We have Damon Morris, the owner of Card Kingdom. He's coming back for his third year. But the one I'm most excited about, should I give it away or should I not give it away?
All right.
The one I'm most excited about is we have Mr. Ben Blywiss himself. He is basically the guy that runs all the pricing for Star City Games, particularly the buy list. He is joining us this year. He might end up being first guest, depending on his schedule and our schedule. But that one's huge because we're going to finally get to, I don't think we've never really talked to anyone from Star City. I don't know if Kelly did back in the early days, but we haven't had a chance to talk to anyone. And Ben basically runs pricing at Star City. So it's going to be huge. It's going to be really,
they're
really
all
huge.
Big. I mean, there's like, those are the three main vendors. For anyone, you know, kind of cluing in or tuning in and kind of haven't, you know, I would urge folks to go back and not only listen to them, but we normally get a lot of time. Hopefully, or out of, you know, all these vendors, which is awesome. I mean, it's amazing. So hopefully, you know, we keep that train rolling this year. Then they generally have a good time, so that's great. And they give us a lot of time, and it's really, really valuable information. It's going to be a great set of casts, a great time when we have all these vendors on, and that's going to be starting beginning of November, Tark.
Yeah, it depends on it depends on scheduling. We might have one start as early as next week, but I doubt that. It's probably going to be November. These are all probably going to run through November. So yeah. So you guys should check out. It's gonna be awesome. It's honestly probably, I have to be honest, it's probably my favorite time of year for the cast because, yeah, like Chaz mentioned, we turn the bot on record and we talk sometimes for like two and a half hours. And then what we do is we break the cast up. Sometimes we'll break it up into two parts. If it's long enough, we might break it into three parts and we just release them out like that. So it's gonna be it's really, really cool. It's a really good time.
Yep. We got all the off-topic stuff out of the way. So for those of you that listened in before we started recording, there's some off-topic chatter for you all. But so tonight we wanted to go over a topic, and we may talk about another topic, but this will probably be the main focus. Is there was some talk in the Insider Discord. There were some really good conversations going. Chris Martin, writer?
Yeah, he's a writer. Yeah,
writer for us. Just want to make sure. Gave us this kind of synopsis and TLDR that we wanted to talk about on the cast. It's mostly about TCG player and some of the bullet points, just to kind of go through them real quick. What are the pros and cons of TCG player? The massive marketplace it created, minimal competition in the secondary market of Magic and what that means. TCG Direct, TCG Pro, and TCG buy list, the fee structure, TCG players first mover status and being a cornered market. And if there's any other like kind of pressing questions that any of you all want us to go over. But that's pretty much the gist of it. And it kind of happened organically, and it was just a really good conversation. I think it's like kind of still going on, sort of, in and out. So I think it was a really good topic for the cast, and folks wanted us to talk about it. So I guess I'll let you start first, Tar, so I don't, like, just start rambling. But
yeah, so the impetus of this was somebody had I don't remember exactly, Chris or someone had just brought up how TCG kind of owns the space. And when I say owns the space, correct. When I say owns the space, it's very, very important that I clear up what that means, because one of the debates and the things that we kind of discussed back and forth in the chat was that, well, TCG Player doesn't have a monopoly on marketplace to sell Magic cards. As in, they are not the only online place you can go buy Magic cards. They're not the only online marketplace you can go buy Magic cards. You can go to eBay to buy Magic cards. You can go to Amazon to buy Magic cards. You can go to vendors, right? That's, we all can agree that they don't have a monopoly on that. This is the only place you can go online to buy Magic cards. And nobody was really disputing that, but there was semantics and I think some misunderstanding. What they do have, however, and what I firmly agree with, and that I sort of defended and supported this position in the chat, is they have cornered the market on a marketplace, online e-commerce marketplace, specifically for trading card games, collectible card games, Magic the Gathering. They own that space. And by own that space, I mean, it's not like back in the early days of TCG Player, even when they were starting. If I wanted to create a marketplace myself, and I had a group of friends, and we were coders and developers, and we put together some code, and we create a marketplace, and we put it out there to get some grassroots momentum and kind of build up, you know, our own sort of ecosystem that was not only sustainable but scalable, that we could do that, right? That is no longer the case. If you want to compete with TCG Player, their user base is so large, and they have such a lead way, as Chris Martin said, they were first mover. They were first to market in this place, and they're so far ahead. You would need millions of dollars in resources, relationships, marketing, in order to pull not only the buyers, but you need sellers, okay? Because there's this chicken and egg scenario. If I go, hey, everyone, I've got a marketplace, and the buyers go, oh, cool, I can buy cheap cards. Well, they come there, and they find no sellers because, well, nobody knows about my marketplace. I'm already on TCG Player, right? If I'm a seller, well, can you guarantee me sales? I need to know that when I open up my store, out the gate, I'm going to have sales. No new marketplace can really, no new marketplace can necessarily guarantee that, but even offer that kind of assurance, unless you say, like, if I came out and I said, hey guys, listen, I've got Channel Fireball, Card Kingdom, Star City. I have all these companies that have decided they are going to platform their inventory, right? I've got also these independent places that are big influencers in the space, right? Whomever you want to say, that you know, you see them all in the Facebook groups, and they're large sellers, but they're not stores, right? They're also on the platform. Then you have sellers, okay? And you can attract buyers, then you get buyers, and then you can slowly start to build the ecosystem. But in order to accomplish that, you would have to market the hell out of that platform. You'd have to have an amazing code base that was comparable or better to TCG Player. And some would argue that's not difficult. We won't get into that, but TCG Player has their issues, but they're pretty darn functional. Okay. You probably need content. Okay. TCG Player does have content. And while people claim that nobody goes there for the articles, it is something that is a marketing initiative, and it does work. You'd need to have, do all these things. You'd need to be able to push this thing and get people. You have to get past the inertia, and everybody, like, TCG Player is a steam ball, and it's a snowball, and it's rolling. And I know for a fact that if I open a store on TCG Player, I have, you know, thousands, if not millions, of customers at my disposal. You have to be able to offer that to somebody to get them to want to sell and to buy. That's the first thing.
I think the issue, and, you know, to kind of go off that, I mean, I think, you know, what's interesting, Tark, is we have some experience with this. I don't know if you remember, but, you know, as we were working with QS, we were working alongside some developers starting to make that marketplace, MTG Park.
Yep.
You remember that?
Yep.
So, And I kind of know, like, you know, kind of going back and forth, and we were like the point people at one point, and we kind of got to see some of the intimate stuff of, you know, going back and forth and trying to build this up and, you know, basically offering like next to zero fees, and folks just wouldn't, like, it was a ghost town. And, you know, for all these quote unquote big sellers, like you just said, that were selling on Facebook, or they were selling on, you know, even TCG Player at the time, but they weren't really selling, you know, they weren't like Star City Games or something like that. They had all their inventory on there, and they didn't find any buyers.
Correct.
You know, and again, there was like no fees. And then at the end of the day, the only thing that ended up happening was the frustration of there would end up being buyers sometimes, and it would just be, oh, they just ended up snatching a card that was underpriced and the seller forgot about the card.
Exactly. Which is why, and it's great you brought up MTG. That's the thing is we, you know, coming from a little bit of experience here and coming from QS that has, you know, has pivoted it into not just content, but also tech, and, you know, went through a period, you know, ages ago with MTG Park in an attempt to try and grassroots and build a, you know, from the ground up platform. And it is not what you think it is. You know, you not only need to have a good platform, but the biggest quandary is you need, you know, sellers want buyers, buyers want sellers. Yep. Okay. If you don't have either of those, it's not going to happen. And the only way you can plow through those early stages of trying to get a critical mass of people is you need to have platinum partners. You know, you need to be able to say, hey guys, Channel Fireball is selling on our platform. Come buy, you know, come check out our platform. Along with Channel Fireball, we have other platinum partners, and we offer these incentive packs. You know, you got to get people there using it. You need users, and TCG Player owns the market share of the user base. That's a fact. I think it was, I don't want to be wrong about this, but I believe it was Lockheed who posted an image in the chat about one day, I think it was 2 days ago, a day of eBay completed Magic the Gathering sales. That's any sale corresponding to Magic the Gathering. And it was a full page of 200 listings, and there were 10 pages. That's 2,000 listings on eBay. Now, is eBay infinitely larger than TCG Player as a marketplace? Of course. But does TCG Player blow through way more than 2,000 Magic sales a day? Absolutely. Absolutely. We have members in this Discord alone. I know two members who do 175, 180 sales a day. That's just two people on TCG Player has thousands of users that range from the massive vendors like Channel Fireball all the way down to like kids with decks. So there's no way eBay, if they're doing 2,000 a day, and again, that's, I understand, but if we go off of that data, you can't compare. You cannot compare.
Just TCG, so, just Magic cards, yeah.
Yeah, just Magic cards. We're not even talking about other TCGs or CCGs, but we're just talking about Magic cards, which is what we're interested in. So if you're going to tell me, well, okay, someone made the argument, well, if, you know, they're not really the only one, because the casual mom who wants to just type into Google this deck or box or card and then wants just to use a gift card, they would go to Amazon for that. I would say that's probably true. However, that doesn't happen that often. That's probably seasonal behavior when you get the most highest concentration of that behavior. But if you tell me, where can I go that I'm going to get scalable, consistent, sustainable sales of Magic product, I'm going to TCG Player. Now, to be fair, I have not used Amazon, eBay, so I can't say whether or not the sustainable claim that I'm making is 100% accurate. But based on what I know and based on my experience, I'm led to believe that on average, you can probably hedge your bets and guess that you're going to do better on TCG Player more consistently than you necessarily would on Amazon, eBay. I can't say from experience whether that's true. And I know Sean Johnson, some other people do sell on Amazon and do sell on eBay. But I'm just looking at the minimal amount of data that I have seen suggests to me that TCG Player is the place to be. They have the eyeballs. They have the users. So that was the crux of the argument. So some of the other things that brought up minimal competition.
I've sold a lot on eBay only because of just the ease of receiving the payment like instantly and not having to go through the you know, the difficulty, well, basically just the pain of waiting, like selling, waiting to get paid, and then taking additional fees when I do get paid from the transfer. Like that all, like the fee structure is completely, it's super bad on TCG Player. Let's just call it what it is. It's terrible. But eBay is like not that much better, but there is the great perk of you get paid, you get the money instantly. But you know, you have to deal with everything that comes with eBay, where basically if you're a seller, you're 100% out of luck if anything were to happen to any order. Because you know, 9.99% of the time eBay is going to side with the buyer. So, and just to swing back really quickly to like what you were saying before. So again, like to combat TCG Player, I don't even think like, yeah, you would need the millions, Tark, but I think what's more vital to that, like you can have all the marketing you want. If you don't have the relationships that they have fostered at this point, and this is like the big point of they were first to market. Like if you don't have the relationships they fostered, you don't have anything. Because again, I mean, it was very grassroots. I'm not saying like this was going to be super successful. And like there was always this kind of like in the back of our minds of like you're trying to take down, like it is literally David versus Goliath. They were offering almost next to no fees, Tark, on MTG Park.
Yeah, like, I remember.
Next to no fees. And no one was selling on there. So, you know, people just, you know, they complain that they, you know, about the fees, and I get it. They complain about the fees on eBay, and they get it. But at the end of the day, buyers want a place where they're going to go get the cheapest stuff, and sellers want the place that they're going to get the most eyeballs, and that right now is TCG Player. Maybe in its infancy, it could have been debated, like, oh, there's still, like, eBay and like, you know, even, like, Facebook and all that stuff. Sure, but these days, like, I just think the sheer number, and especially like how it was integrated into the culture of just the average MTG player, like they don't pull up their phone and look on eBay for a card's price.
You hit exactly where I was going to. Nobody looks up eBay aside from the like high end marketer,
right?
The Facebook, sure, but the average player, a TCG player, has become the price guide. Come on. You can't tell me that eBay or Amazon are competing for the same consumer base. They are, but that they have a lead on them when TCG Player is the baseline for pricing. I mean, this is a really interesting. Chris Martin said minimal competition in the secondary market of Magic and what that means. Well, this ties into it. I mean, TCG Player market pricing and for a while low is the baseline for trading and buying. Yeah. Right. So. Before TCG Player, there was eBay. I guess you could use eBay completed sales. I don't even remember a time. The time I remember, because I was out of Magic around the time that TCG Player really started becoming big. But you know, it was magazines, and then it became TCG Player on your phone. Like that was it. I don't recall the in between period. But you know, maybe Chaz, maybe you were there when TCG Player was not the baseline. But
it was pretty much like what price guides from a magazine and eBay completed. Yeah, that's like pretty much what we had.
You know, when TCG Player becomes the price guide, that's your user base. Your user base is actually using them to determine pricing. And related to pricing, there was another comment where someone said
TCG was like brain burst like for a long time. It wasn't even like a marketplace. It was like
It was a content site.
It was like a content site with forums and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So there was another. I think it was Cardbreaker. Someone mentioned. They said, "Well, I don't like to go to TCG Player because I know I'm going to have to pay market rate for a card." Which, that's every online place. There's no online wholesale distributor of Magic singles. Like there's no place where we can go and find at buy list or some kind of wholesale price to buy singles. Nobody offers that. And that's a separate topic entirely, but I do think such a system and an entity is possible, but that's a totally different subject, but that doesn't exist. So first of all, you're going to get quote unquote market or retail price anywhere.
Around retail price. We'll just say that.
Around retail price.
You can go to a store and find it like $1, $1.50 cheaper, $2 even cheaper. But
online. Yeah. And you can use Trader Tools to find opportunities and whatnot, which is also a separate topic. But if you wanted to, the only place I know of that you can as someone who has who's just a player, you know nothing about anything, and you just know, oh, there's I can get online and go TCG Player or other places. If you go to TCG Player, you are more likely to find lower priced items thanks to the race to the bottom system that they have than you are other merchants. That's just reality. One, they don't have a bid system like eBay, right? So that they don't have this other means of trying to compete. It's just the price is what it is, and whoever's the cheapest is the cheapest. You can find tons of bottom barrel deals. They also
don't have every listing is a multi list is a like a multi listing. Like there's no play sets.
Exactly. There's tons of opportunity to find cheap cards on TCG Player that are below market value, below market rate. They're all the time. They get listed all the time, and that's because TCG Player has this kind of open platform that the kid with a deck can just throw his cards up there to make a little bit of money and be done with it. So,
like, is it a pain to add four different merchants' cards to your cart and like check it out? But they're all the cheapest like price of the cards by like $2. Yeah, it's a huge pain, but I mean, you can still do it.
You can do it. And I don't know any other that either from a buyer perspective to go find low cost cards. I mean, that is the whole thing. That's the whole benefit of TCG Low as a buyer is that I always know, well, if I want to find something that's pretty cheap, if I really want to know where I can get the most dirt cheap price on a card, you go to TCG Player. I mean, if you're a true value hunter as a buyer, as a consumer buyer, I'm not talking about people that are trying to do savvy things and buy lists and anything like that. I'm saying just as a player or buyer, you're trying to find the lowest price, you start with TCG Player. I mean, Chaz, wouldn't you agree? Like, let's see where I can find the lowest, cheapest copy of this. I'll try TCG Low.
Well, yeah, and on top of that, I mean, you can make a buy list on TCG Player these days. I mean, you couldn't before, but no other platform offers that functionality.
Correct. And that's a good segue. So Chris was asking about the different
now I'm not you know a pro account or direct, so you may have more information regarding that. At least recently I stick to local sales and TCG and buy listing. I keep it as low a volume as I can, just for like in relation to the time that I put in these days. Before I would sell on, eBay, whatever, mostly eBay, whatever, grind it out. But these days I literally just stick to what can I sell the quickest? How quickly can I sell it? Whether it be TCG Player or local, I don't really even do eBay anymore, like as much anymore, because I just don't want to deal with the nonsense like customer service and all that other stuff. So I just stick to TCG Player. What's fastest, what's the most cost efficient for me for my time, because I don't have as much time to sell like that kind of volume anymore.
Right. So I can go into a little bit of some of TCG Player's other quote-unquote enterprise offerings, which I have my own personal issues with, and I won't go too deep into them because I don't want it to turn to a bash on TCG Player, because I sell on TCG Player. Let me just put that out there. I do sell on TCG Player. I have sold on eBay. I bought on eBay. Actually, no, I haven't really sold on eBay. I need to take that back. I really haven't sold much on eBay. But the reason I didn't sell on eBay is because eBay has a notorious reputation for being filled with toxic buyers who will claim they didn't get cards, right? I can tell you, TCG Player does not have that. It doesn't have as many. It happens. It does happen on TCG Player, but
not nearly.
It 100% happens, but not nearly to the frequency and to the degree that it happens on eBay. So that's one thing. So, but let me go into some of the other stuff that they offer, as I have a little bit of experience with some of them. Okay, so TCG Direct. So for those that don't know, and we have, I think, Bio's in here. He can correct me with whatever I get wrong or give me some specific numbers because he's a direct seller, but. What happens with TCG Direct is it's kind of considered their quote unquote platinum seller program, whereby if you maintain like 2,000, 3,000 cards at any given time in your inventory, you've done like 300 or 500 sales a month, or maybe it's a week. I can't recall. Bio, you can clarify, but it's several hundred sales in a short amount of time consistently. You maintain 100% feedback rating, then you can apply for TCG Direct. And if you are accepted, the way TCG Direct works is that TCG has a warehouse that they actually have cards. And you can sell cards through Direct at a premium price than anyone else on TCG Player. So if you're looking at a Tarmogoyf and you can see a seller is TCG Direct, well, their price for TCG Direct might be $90, whereas everyone else, the normal sellers on TCG Player might be selling at $75. Okay, and if I'm a buyer and I just want to look at the Direct listings, I can click on just TCG Direct postings, and I can see all the TCG Direct prices. Now the natural question is, well, why would any buyer want to buy a higher price card through TCG and just look at those pricing on TCG Player? Because TCG Player like guarantees condition. They have a bunch of guarantees, and the cards come directly from TCG Player. So if I'm just a kid, or we'll say a mom who's just buying for their son, and I'll be willing to pay a slight premium to know I'm getting it not from some random, not I don't know what the condition is going to be like. I know it's going to be guaranteed to be of a certain quality, and it's going to get to me within a certain time. All guaranteed. So, and it does work. We have TCG Direct sellers in here. BioSpark, I know, is one. Christopher Tidmore. We have plenty of TCG Direct sellers. Phil Allen, and they successfully sell cards at a premium price. There's a lot of people who buy. The other thing TCG Player does is they market. So they will give you like they will spotlight your store on the front of a card listing. So if I look up a Tarmogoyf, when you open it up, you'll see TCG Direct seller spotlight. Right. So they also kind of help you with marketing, and that does work. You do see higher conversion of sales. I think it's like Phil Allen wrote a little piece on it. And I think you see like double your sales almost overnight. Bio, you can confirm that since you're in the chat here, but your sales like basically double overnight. They really push the Direct program, which all sounds great. You're like, wow, I can sell my term for $80, right? And when I've had some experience with Direct. I've had about 90 to 120 days trying to sell through Direct. And it does seem great on the surface. It seems awesome. However, the catch is the cards are coming directly from TCG Player, which means TCG Player has to have them in stock. And the way it works is that if I sell my Tarmogoyf through Direct, TCG Player sends the card from their warehouse, and then they send me an invoice that says, here are all the cards you sold through Direct that we sent out. You now have to send those to us. Okay, fine. The first problem with that whole scenario is that you probably think, well, that's great. TCG Player has everything in stock, right? That's patently false. And that was the thing that I didn't realize when I tried selling through Direct is that TCG Player may only have like 50 to 60% of Magic inventory in stock. So what'll happen is if you get some cards and you're like, great, I've built out these sales projections, what I think I'm going to make, and I'm going to sell through TCG Player Direct, but they don't have the cards in stock. You don't get that premium price. Your listing for the card is then put in with all the rest of the normal listing.
Yep.
So my $90 Tarmogoyf, if at any point in time TCG Player sells out of their Direct copies that they have in their warehouse, immediately I'm now pushed in with all the regular sellers. And a $90 Tarmogoyf under the normal seller listings is probably like 3 or 4 pages in from the rest of the sellers. And we all know, I shouldn't say we all know, but the way the TCG Player works, if you look at it, typically you're most likely to achieve sales, non-direct sales, when you're in the first page, and even more specifically when you're in like the first 5 to 8 listings.
Yeah, maybe you won't sell it on page 3. Let's just say that.
You're not going to sell it on page 3. And so if at any point in time, so the problem is nobody's sitting on TCG Player 24 hours a day checking right. their inventory to make sure that it's always a Direct. So you never know. At some point in time, you might sell a card and it's Direct. Another point in time, you may never sell the card because it's suddenly not TCG Player doesn't have it in stock. And you're sitting there waiting, but your price point is so high. So now you got to go in, reprice your inventory, but then TCG Player gets it back in stock.
Right.
Now you're priced too low, right? So I wasn't aware of this.
Right. So it's I was not aware of this for stuff that's like newer stuff that they would most likely have. But if you're trying to find like a near mint, like reserve list card, sort of the ages, even if you have the card and TCG doesn't have it, you can't sell it.
You can't sell it direct.
Like you'll just get dumped into the rest of the pool, and if you just happen to have the price is higher than X person, you basically don't sell it. So they really push the program, but from what I've heard is that it's mostly just for like if you do a ton of volume and it's for a lot of newer stuff.
Well, but here's the problem with that. standard cards don't carry the same premium.
Yep.
The point of TCG Direct is getting that premium. Standard cards don't carry that premium because guys, the stores like Channel Fireball, those are all TCG Direct sellers. And they're going to be fire selling that stuff at basically the same price point that you can find almost a TCG low. Okay. So that's the biggest issue, number one. And when I came in and tested Direct, I was blown away by how little TCG Player keeps in stock. And you would think, okay, TCG Player, they should have, if you're going to have this progressive acquisitions program, which apparently they do. I mean, I see them, they even go to events sometimes. Like they were at Gen Con, they had a massive booth and they were buying cards. But you would think that they would be just aggressively buying so that they can offer their direct partners a true, you know, diamond kind of partner program, but they don't. I can confidently tell you that at any point in time, I would say half of the inventory could not be sold through direct because they didn't have it in stock. So that's one of the major problems with it. Second problem, they grade your product when you send it in. So when I sell my Tarmogoyf, they send it out to the buyer. Great, it's done. Then they'd say, okay, here are all the cards you have that you sold. So you send in your Tarmogoyf. Now, you would think, okay, that's fine, right? Okay, except it's not really okay when TCG Player, I would say, grades harsher than probably Star City. I would say out of any vendor, and I have sold to all the major vendors, I've sold to small vendors. Out of any vendor or merchant or whatever company I've ever sent cards to be graded, they are hands down the harshest graders I have ever experienced. Nearmint cards, LP all the time. Nearmint cards being dropped to MP. LP cards being damaged, Nearmint cards being damaged. Literally Nearmint cards that you're like, what? And they'll find something that looks like it might be water damaged, suddenly it's damaged, right? And I understand the reason they do this is because they have these guarantees in place. So they have to be more cautious and more strict than usual. But I mean it's to the point where real world Nearmint will likely not be Nearmint to TCG Player. It's so strict that I have actually spoken to large, massive TCG Direct sellers who price everything that they send it to that they list direct as LP, simply because they don't want to go. They can't be bothered with the TCG grading process because it's so strict. Everything they list is LP, regardless if it's Nearmint or not Nearmint or LP. It's all LP because they're so brutal. Foils even worse. Foils they're
might as well
so harsh on foils. You might as well not sell them, right? So and then so here's what happens. So you send your cards so you make a sale. It's all good, great. You go, oh wow, cool. I've sold these many direct products. Awesome. Then you send in your stuff. Then they turn back and go, sorry, you have all of these downgrades, and all those downgrades have to be are going to be adjustments made to your sales, and then you have to pay the difference. I think it's Phil or Bio, if you can clarify this, because it's been a while, but I believe you have to pay the difference of what the card is sold. So they sell it at the LP price, and then you're charged the difference, I believe, between your near mint price. Yeah, you pay the difference between what they pay to restock it. So they have to restock it at an LP. You're going to pay the difference. So they're essentially double dipping there, as it were. And then then you have to request to have the card sent back to you. Then you have to downgrade your card, and then you have to relist it. It's a terribly cumbersome process. I went through it for 4 months nearly, and it was brutally difficult because you never knew what your sales projections could be because you couldn't guarantee direct sales. Then on top of that, you never knew what was going to get downgraded and what wasn't. It was really it's really 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 difficult. On top of that, they have an increased fee structure. So the fees are higher through TCG Direct than they are through normal TCG Player sales. I don't have the breakdown in front of me. If Bio or Phil want to list it really fast, they can. But it is higher than normal TCG Player fees. I think it comes out to almost 20% overall when you factor in everything. And in my estimation, it's not the higher fees, the lack of inventory that they have grading just make it not worth it. It's just not worth it. And the interesting thing is from their perspective, I see why they promote it a lot, because again, with the grading, there are ways that they are able to double dip. For example, TCG Player will buy from, so let's say I'm a normal listing on TCG Player. A direct listing. They will buy from my direct store cards for themselves, for their direct inventory, and then charge me fees for those acquisitions. So
they'll charge me a fee for the acquisitions, and then if they downgrade the, then that card's going to get charged again. So if they buy from you to restock, which they do, so they will make what's called a TCG player purchase, as Bio said here. You'll see a sale. Let's say my Tarmogoyfs, and I go, oh, who bought it? I go into the buyer details, and it's a TCG player purchase. That means they're buying it from you to restock their product, and they charge you the fees to do so. They charge you their standard TCG player fees. So there's a lot of issues I have with TCG Player Direct. For those that sell on it and have found success with it, I think that's amazing. I know Phil Allen in particular is a big proponent of it. He found a lot of success. I'm not saying you can't be successful. In my opinion, the best people it's for is for the channel fireballs, because they can just push. It doesn't matter where the volume's coming from. They just need it on as many eyeballs. And when they do get a premium, it's nice. So the channel fireballs, and then people that are sort of not hobbyists, but people that want to throw their cards up on direct, and if it sells, it sells. If it doesn't. But in my experience, if I'm trying to build if you're trying to have a consistent, stable sort of I guess predictable model, TCG Player Direct is not what you want. TCG, this traditional TCG player, is a much more reliable, less expensive, less of a hassle way to do it. That's just my experience. You still wait to get paid. Either way, you wait longer to Player Direct. See, when your direct invoices and what you're owing from TCG Player takes longer than it does with normal TCG Player. Now, again, there are pros. Again, this is not just a bash on it, but I'm clarifying. Because everybody thinks TCG Player Direct must be awesome, but now there's pros to it. Okay, when, for example, instead of shipping out a million orders to a million different places, when you have all these direct sales, you just pack up one box and send it to TCG Player.
Right.
All right. And there's thresholds for when you have to do that. It's like once you hit $300 in direct sales, and or like the end of the month or something like that. I can't exactly recall. So once you hit these thresholds, you pack everything up in a box, you ship it off to TCG Player. It's done.
Right. So much easier.
It's much easier. It's much, much easier.
Instead of like packing up like 50 different orders.
Correct. But that's when you have direct sales.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So what I found overall, and then you get the marketing, you do get the premium when it hits, right? I mean, it's not like it's a sham. I just found it to be probably not the optimal thing for the average seller.
Yeah. And then keep in mind you're getting the premium. Wait, you're getting the premium push of TCG Player that already has the most eyeballs on TCG cards, and you're basically getting pushed to the front. So you're getting like literally everybody that goes through there.
Correct. Bio made a really, really great comment here that all the massives like Channel Fireballs, Card Titan, all these guys, Card Rush, I can't recall. Anyways, the massive players, they're all direct. Most of them are direct. Because obviously the direct community of sellers is much smaller than just the average TCG community. So you can see who's on there, and the massives, they undercut, they've got usually higher quality graded, quality product, right? So you're really competing with Channel Fireballs and whatnot. So it's best tailored to them, in my opinion, or to people that, are just kind of, you're at a point, you've sold enough to where you can be direct and you can benefit from the premium, and it's easier on your time. You just want to pack stuff up and send it off. But if you're actually trying to do any kind of, if you're viewing it and are interested in seeing what it's like as sort of a means of doing business, magic business, I don't think it's the optimal way to go. Really quick, I want to plug Phil Allen's article in the chat here in the QS Cast QA chat. Phil did a link to his article. It's a fantastic breakdown.
Very good article.
Fantastic breakdown of the differences between TCG Player and TCG Player Direct. He even goes so far as to tell you, he has recommendations on what price points you should be putting cards through TCG Player Direct or even TCG Player, where you're going to get hit the most with fees, how the math works. He did a really, really fantastic breakdown. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Actually, we'll pin that, Phil, because it's an excellent article, and everyone, I highly recommend you read it. It directly correlates to this conversation, and he has a lot more of the details that I don't have in front of me. He breaks everything down there, so please check it out.
Awesome. I want to plug Efren too here. I want to plug CardSphere as a place to find singles and that whole marketplace. If you have like any extra questions or you want to kind of figure, you know, find it out, talk to Efren. Because
Cardsphere is the that's kind of like the Puka, the trading platform, right?
It's like the fixed Puka trade that one.
But that's, you know what, that's not to sort of like change gears, we'll go back to TCG Player, but really quick, sure. That's a good example. Cardsphere, I know, because we were in talks with Cardsphere owners and the tech guys. We had yep. A long conversation with them about partnering with them, working with them. It's the same situation. Those guys are very, very smart, very competent, are trying to do good things. They can't compete with TCG. They can't compete with TCG Player. You can't compete with TCG Player unless you have the resources and the relationships. It's just a fact.
And what's really unfortunate is, you know, Tark, from when we were talking and, you know, kind of behind the scenes. Well, I mean, it's kind of out in the open now. I mean, really don't care. I mean, it is what it is these days. But back then, I mean, it just kind of sucks because they get this bad rap of people who are, you know, people feel they're trying to do like nefarious things. They're really not. It's just you just can't, you know, at the end of the day, their model kind of broke down because people weren't just making the switch, and you know, there wasn't enough volume, and people just kind of stuck with TCG Player. Their economy from the ground up was kind of botched, but the bottom line is Cardsphere is kind of doing things better. So there's at least that.
Yeah. The bottom line is people have tried. If it was that easy, it would have been done by now. It's not. It takes a massive amount of resources and very deep, strong relationships to do that. All that said, do I think that there's room in the marketplace for a competitor TCG Player? 100%. There's enough consumer dollars. There's absolutely room. It's just someone needs with the wherewithal and the resources would need to step up to the plate. Anyways, I want to go back to what we were talking about. That's TCG Direct. And really quick, I'm going to touch into a question.
In their prime, would you have considered Puka to be a TCG competitor? I say no.
No.
I say no. Even in their prime, no.
That's because. Not everyone knows how to trade. So in the example of the mom who wants to use a card or cash or whatever, she can just go on a TCG Player and buy. She has no idea how to trade cards on Puka Trade or Cardsphere. Right? Anytime you want to make transactions as simple as possible for the consumer, and just opening up your wallet and spending cash is the easiest thing for a mom or dad or whomever, anybody to do than trying to trade. Trading is for specifically players only. And even players don't know how to trade.
It's why, you know, a place like Cardsphere kind of fixed like what Puka was trying to do, because they tie it to like actual cash.
Right. Okay. So back to the TCG Player stuff really quick. That's Direct. Please read Phil Allen. It's awesome. He does a better job breaking down the details than I do.
Yeah. Very good article.
So TCG Player Direct is connected to the TCG buy list. So you cannot buy through the TCG buy list if you are not a TCG Direct seller. So if you are interested in going, oh, wow, TCG has a buy list program, how do I buy through that? You have to be a TCG Direct buyer. It's the only way you can take advantage of their buy list. They charge 10% on your buy list price. So if you go out there and you go, okay,
can't buy bulk.
You cannot buy bulk. Well, you can buy bulk, but you got to pay what?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So yes, you cannot buy bulk. You cannot buy bulk. And it's funny you say that, because if you look on the buy list for bulk rares, you can't, nobody's trying to buy. That's what's hilarious. If you look, nobody's trying to buy bulk. Nobody buys bulk. You cannot buy bulk. So they take 10%. So if you buy a card for $100, you're going to pay 110, right, for it. So that has to be factored into you literally have to up your buy list by 10% or build in a 10%, you know, additional cost there. And you can only use it if you're TCG Direct. To my knowledge, you can use it successfully. People, some of the direct sellers here do use it and have found a lot of success using it. But it is only accessible if you're a TCG Player Direct seller. TCG Pro. So TCG Pro is kind of their true enterprise program, and it is only for brick and mortar stores. So there's things like advanced data tools. There's like CSV upload capabilities. They have their own card scanner that's specifically only for TCG Player Pro. So they have a lot of things with TCG Player Pro. You get a website. The big thing is you get a website out of it. So it's kind of like similar to Crystal Commerce, except infinitely better. But it only lists two TCG player. So once you're a TCG player pro, you are like completely tethered to their ecosystem. It doesn't cross platform or cross list other platforms like eBay or Amazon or things like that. But you get a website out of it, you get a scanner out of it, you get like some better enterprise tools, you get some like the ability to just do CSV uploads automatically from the scanner to your store, things like that. But that's only for brick and mortar. So the program that would most affect people in this group would be the potential for becoming TCG direct. And if you have questions, BioSpark went from non-direct to direct. Phil Allen, a long time ago, went from non-direct to direct. And there's other sellers here that have experienced both. So you can message those. But that's basically a breakdown of the three. TCG Player has the lowest fees of them all. TCG Direct and TCG Pro have higher fees, and they charge you 10% for using the buy list. So that's basically the fee structure. Now, as to the bigger issue of TCG fees overall, yes, I think they're too high. I don't think that they're price gouging, but they are definitely too high. Do they compare to eBay and Amazon? I think so. And I think for people who sell on eBay and Amazon, you can chime in, Chad, you sell on eBay. Would you say they're fairly comparable, or do you say TCG is worse? Hello?
Sorry, what? I thought this was a question to the chat.
No, I said Chad. RV
well,
Chaz.
That's why I didn't respond.
Chaz. Sorry, Chaz. Would you say that eBay is... My bad. Would you say that eBay is comparable or better fee structure than TCG Player?
I mean, it's slightly better. I mean, they're all not great. That's why you have to factor it in to all your to all your sales. But I mean, it's barely better. I mean, the only perk about eBay that to me anyway, and again, this was selling in volume and kind of rotating. This was kind of the best platform for me at the time of the kind of turn and burn strategy that we kind of always talked about, is because when you got the sales, you got the funds instantly. That was the best part of the entire platform. The fees, it is what it is, because it had eBay fees and then they were partnered with PayPal. So you had to pay fees, double fees on PayPal. So it was almost like similar to TCG, but I know TCG now has, well, not now, but they have this kind of secondary fee when they actually transfer you the money, which really sucks. So you're not only paying fees on your sale, you're paying fees when they actually transfer you the money, and you have to wait to get transferred the money anyway. So it was just always kind of like, I never touched TCG Player. The only reason I even touch TCG Player now is because of the volume of buyers and the I guess better customer service than eBay. I mean, yeah, it really sucks that you know, you don't get the, you have to wait for the fees and this, that, and the other. Like the double fees and waiting on the actual funds. But you know, eBay kind of just, I don't know, just didn't really do it for me. And wait, to circle back to what you said before about just the toxic amount of buyers on eBay. First, like, not just the, oh, I never received the card, and if you're basically like, you're forced to like refund, they can turn around and leave negative feedback. So if they really just didn't like whatever, like didn't like you for whatever reason, had a bad day, didn't care or whatever, the buyers have so much power on eBay. Like it's just literally not even worth it after a while, because you could do everything right, still get negative feedback. And it's like such a long process to go through and get the feedback like removed, that it's like not even worth your time.
Yeah, I mean, here's my issue
with
the
TCG. It's crap. It's crap. Yeah. It's a crap system.
Here's my issue with the TCG player fees. Amazon and eBay are massive, multi-market sort of platform, e-commerce platforms that you can sell anything and everything. TCG player is specifically in the card business. And the card business, the average Magic card is $1 to $4. And the average Magic card, or less, we'll say under $4. Okay, if you're a microtransaction platform system like that, you have to adjust your fees, knowing that your sellers are selling, you know, $2 sales on average. Yeah. If the average sale is $2, you can't charge me, you know, 60 cents. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're going to charge me the 12, I think it's like what, 15% or 10.25 plus two. It's like 13% just on the transaction. But yep. Then you hit me with a 30 cent payment processing fee. Now, I understand maybe that is a cost that has to be passed down to the consumer, but then you need to lower your fee per transaction.
Yes.
Because what happens is if I'm doing a $2 sale, I'm getting hit with a 37 cent stamp and then a 30 cent processing fee. That's 67 cents out of the $2 sale. That's not worth it. It's not worth it. And the problem is you're not serving multiple markets and multiple demographics and multiple industries. You're serving a microtransaction market that specifically deals in mostly $0 to $4 sales. And that's the worst place for fees. And a TCG player knows this. They're aware of this, right? But they base their fee structure on other marketplaces.
Wait. You're not paying 30 cents on the stamp. I mean, if you're
you're paying 50 cents on the stamp.
No, you're not. No, it's like 71 cents for if you're sending it in a plastic case. So you're basically spending a dollar off.
So I'm just saying the stamp. We're not factoring in the cost of, because you can't expect TCG player can't assume that everyone has, they can't assume packaging costs as in like top loaders and all that. That's not really incumbent on TCG player to assume that, but they can assume everybody
They have a shipping standard.
You're not required to put a card in a top loader.
Well, then you pretty much forfeit any like dispute.
Well, but it's not. It's they don't say you have to do this and don't.
I'm pretty sure they do.
No, I don't see.
They don't force
tracking
until $50. I know that, but I do. They do have like a shipping guide.
I think they have. I think they have recommended best practices, but they don't have a strict like. They don't have if you did not ship this in a top loader. Like they can't. They can't even. You can't even really legislate. Like they can't.
I mean, you're pretty much like you pretty much forfeit the sale and the like you don't send it. So
yeah, but that's not protocol. It's not like procedure. In formal documents like that. My point is that okay, let's just assume 50 cents for this. Let's just not
sure.
even.
Like you're almost spending double on the stamp. Well, that's
correct.
What I'm trying
have,
to say with that
yeah,
30
you have,
cent like tacked in
50
fee.
Cents. 50 cents. We'll say it's going to end up being like 50 cents for the average person that's just using a normal stamp, right? 50,
yeah.
Maybe more. So you can't. My point is that when your market is microtransactions, you can't have the same fee structure as
right.
eBay and Amazon who can sell cars at 20
yeah.
grand. You can't
yeah.
do that. You cannot do that. So place card in a soft sleeve. So these are guidelines, but these aren't requirements. These are shipping guidelines, not requirements, not policy. Exactly. Point of the matter is my issue is they know they're dealing in my. They 100% know that they have all the data. They can see it, right? And they could at least tier their fees, right? So I would be happy with a tier structure whereby if you're a high volume seller, yeah, maybe you sell more traditional fees. But if you're a low volume seller, you get hit with something else.
It's right here. It's right here, folks. The seller waives any ability to win any disputes if the customer says the package is not arrived or shipped. No. Then I read that wrong. I apologize. No, if they choose not to follow the guidelines listed above, I just said that.
Part of the sale agreement.
It's right in the last paragraph. I knew it was there. So if you don't ship the way they
okay.
tell you to basically ship it above, you auto lose any
Got
dispute.
It. Okay.
So.
Great. That's well. Yeah. So there you go. So they 100% know that you have they don't bake in those added costs, right? They don't assume they don't take factor in those added costs. That's ridiculous. That's
right.
Absolutely ridiculous. They need either a tiered structure or they need to just flat out adjust. Listen, I'm the processing fee. If that's what it is, fine. Pass it on the consumer. But then you have to adjust your transaction fee. You can't be trying to match eBay or Amazon.
Oh yeah, I totally agree with
it's
that. Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
I wasn't like trying to like say
yeah.
that you were wrong or anything.
No,
I'm
that's
trying,
a, no.
Like,
but this
I was
is,
trying to emphasize your point.
Yeah, yeah, no, no. Then this is really good. I honestly didn't even realize that. I had no idea that you're basically required to ship within the packaging guidelines. That's good to know. But that's the bottom line. Like they're charging too much. They're just charging too much for their market, and they are a they are just a TCG CCG marketplace. That marketplace is mostly microtransactions that are low dollar, $4. Your fee structure is too harsh for those kind of transactions. There's just no way around it. So that's what it is with the fees. This kind of all loops back and ties back to Round. Well, guess what? Are they incentivized to change? No. Why? One, there is no competitor. They know there's no competitor. Yep. They know what it would take to compete with them. Yep. Two, when you are the only one in a space, and it's not even, I'm not even saying they're consciously overtly going, screw you, consumer. There's not only no incentive, but nothing pushing them to adjust. They can move as slow as they want. They can prioritize however they want because they control the space. They do. That's the reality of it. So again, this isn't a knock on TCG player. I'm just saying that the market is not not even creating a condition for them to feel the motivation or the push to adjust.
Right. They are definitely a monopoly in the TCG market space. But they still have to keep it lucrative enough for people to still sell there. But they're making sure that they're covering themselves on every transaction. So
correct.
They're going to push it to the very max where it's a nuisance to the seller, but it's not so bad that no one sells on there.
Exactly. Because
they have to still keep it lucrative enough. Right.
Exactly. If it wasn't working, well, it wouldn't be working, right?
Right.
Exactly. So they're not price gouging, because if they were, we'd start seeing a loss in their market share.
MTG Park would be a new market. Yeah.
Right. That's not what's happening. So they push it just enough. And here's the problem. The problem is because they have no tiered system, because it's open to anybody, the kid who plays with his deck and just wants to make some of his money back and throws his card on TCG player doesn't care. He doesn't care. As long as he goes, well, you know what? Yeah, I broke even, or I made a little bit. I just paid a little bit less. That's all he cares about, and TCG player knows that. So TCG players will like, well, most of the people that sell. Then that's also why they don't have very good enterprise software. They don't have any good. They don't have good enterprise B2B reporting tools, because really their market isn't really enterprise users. Though I would argue that it's increasingly become that way. It's been mostly hobbyists and players who just want to get out their cards.
Right. And then the argument of, well, with the accessibility, a kid, like a 15-year-old kid, could go on there and sell their four copies of Lightning Bolt, but then they're done because of the way the tier structure is worked. So it's not like a big deal. Yeah. The problem is if 20 kids do that at tier one of TCG player, the price of Lightning Bolt is now $2.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so everybody that was pricing Lightning Bolt at $350 pretty much just got undercutted down to $2. So
exactly, which goes back.
Anyone can sell their stuff on there,
and that's that market equilibrium where if the price is undercut too much, they're going to get scooped up. It's going to get bought up really fast. But then at a certain point, you satiate demand, and still you have these low cost products that get listed at TCG low. That's going to happen. Which goes back to my point that this argument that you can't. Like TCG Player is the best place to find cheaper cards. It just is, because especially newer stuff, the sheer volume of stuff, sometimes things get posted way, and not, just go ahead, quick Trader Tools plug, TCG Player data is now available in Trader Tools. So you can go ahead and you can find opportunities where, you can get stuff damn near at buy list. You can find opportunities through Trader Tools where you can find cards at buy list. You can't really do that through most of the platforms. Yeah, okay, I'm not going to say you can't at all do it, right? There's cheap cards on eBay, there's cheap cards on Amazon. But for the most part, TCG Player is your best go-to to find good deals. Right?
Especially
outside of hunting. Yeah, outside of hunting, murdering. I'm saying if you're a player, you go, where can I get a good price on a card?
Right.
All right?
Like, and it's one thing, like, you can go to Amazon to find a cheap card. You can't find, like, 80 of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, not only is TCG going to find you, it's a good place for cheap cards. It's the quantity on top of that. Like, where are you going to find 100 of like some almost bulk rare that you're speculating on?
Exactly. And Chris Martin, I'm just looking for points here that people were talking about in the chat. Chris Martin talked about what we said before, is that given that the fact that people base their pricing on TCG Player alone tells you, is enough evidence to me, it says there's no way eBay and Amazon are the go-to for Magic. It's TCG player.
It is. I mean, even ask, like, and this is like just kind of empirical data, but even if you just like, well, if everyone starts, kind of getting this data, then it's like kind of a trend. But I don't know many, if any, store owners that they're really like actual LGS store owners that their primary selling platform was eBay or Amazon. Like, sure, they do some eBay, they do some Amazon. They may have their own, you know, inventory website set up. Like, I know, like, Jupiter back when I was in New York, like, they have their own website, stuff like that. But primarily, like, even LGS has used TCG Player, and some even to go further with that to that extent, like, a majority of their sales come from TCG.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, but you can't use outliers like Dan Bach or Kid Icarus as an argument that eBay is, you know, like the dominant. I just don't, for every outlier like that, there's hundreds of mid-level sellers.
But yeah,
that do,
sure.
That do
like, even if you want
TCG Player.
Right. So, but even if you wanted to use Dan Bach and Kid Icarus, like, sure, those sellers, there's big sellers that do exist on eBay. But again, like you just said, it's just the sheer quantity of sellers on TCG.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just at this point, it's a monopoly.
It's so easy to sell on TCG Player. It's not easy to create an account on eBay.
No.
It's so simple to create an account on TCG Player.
You run into the same issues on eBay that you do on TCG without the amount of traffic. So if you're just starting on eBay and set up like your PayPal, you have to wait to get paid and all that other stuff. So it's like pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, like, so TCG Player, like, you'll always have to wait to get paid. And then there's the issues of, like, TCG Direct. But for eBay, I never was an actual store on eBay. So I don't know, like, how the fee structure and the, what the perks are for that. But I know you have to, like, I know the fee structure is less, but you have to pay, like, per annum. So I don't really know how that equates out.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is there's space for a new player. That space should have been filled a long time ago. But, you know, Chaz, you've been in Magic a long time. I've been in Magic a long time. For whatever reason, this industry moves at a snail's pace in adapting to anything, especially when it comes to tech or anything like that. Just nobody, I don't know why, but it is the last place to adapt and adjust. And, you know, TCG Player was first to market, and they are so far ahead. They are so far ahead that even if you want to chase that dream, you would need a ton of resources and relationships. That's just the reality. So yes, they've cornered the market. They've cornered the market in TCGs. I will sit down and have a straight on debate with anybody that wants to try and make the argument that TCG Player somehow has not cornered the market for MTG, TCG, and CCG space in that space. I'd love to hear how they have not cornered that market. I don't think there's an argument that would hold water to suggest that. They do not have a monopoly on card games in the sense that, yes, they are not the only place to buy cards. So they don't have a monopoly in that regard, but they have cornered the market as far as being a marketplace for that space. No one, and in order to do so, because in order to do so would require more resources than 99% of the population could probably muster and relationships combined. So, all that said, I'm glad TCG Player exists. I mean, people
it
have
should
built.
It needs to exist.
It needs to exist. It's good that it exists. Whole enterprises have been built on TCG Player. Stores have thrived and have been built from TCG Player. You know, it's great.
Stores that may have normally, if they may have gone out of business if it weren't for TCG Player.
Yeah. The suggestion that when eBay became big, when Amazon came when those places started. The e-commerce revolution had begun. There was no stopping it. So I would rest because, you know, people say, well, e-commerce and digital, this is killing the LGS. Well, I would rather have a TCG player that is focused on the industry, that has initiatives to encourage brick and mortar stores such as TCG Player Pro, et cetera. Right.
Sure.
They have initiatives that are there to encourage. So I'd rather have that than just have an eBay or an Amazon who probably could give two, you know, they could probably care less about the LGS because they're not in this space. They're monoliths that run around and they deal in any space that people want to sell through. Right. TCG Player is focused on the industry. They know the industry. Right.
Yep.
So do I think their fees are too high? Yes. Do I think they're incentivized to lower them? No. Do I expect to lower them anytime soon? Nope. In fact, who knows? We might see an increase. Who knows? I hope not. but it's possible. But until something really, really shakes them up, nothing's going to drop their fees. It's just not going to happen. They have no reason to. There's enough success with the platform that there's no incentive to drop the fees. So,
wasn't there something that was increasing in November? I don't know if TCG sale or fees. I think Forever stamps were going up in November.
Yeah, well, there was some kind of PayPal increase.
Yeah. Oh. So it was the transfer to your actual debit card. Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
To your account. If you wanted an instant transfer to your bank from your PayPal account,
it's no
longer
a quarter. It's 1% of the total transfer.
Correct. It's 1%.
Which is awful.
If you don't, if you're willing to wait for the PayPal transfer,
days.
whatever. Then. I mean, I've never used instant transfer ever, so I'm affected, but I know lots of people have. I remember Jeremy. You know, he was talking about how a lot of people will, you know, they'll kind of max out their credit or they'll go deep because they'll have set fulfillment patterns, so schedules, right? So I know, okay, my money's coming in, boom, I will instantly transfer it. Now they're getting hit with a fee. So yeah, I mean that's going to affect some people. So yeah. But that's TCG Play.
That was kind of off topic. Sorry.
But. Yeah. But I think that pretty much sums up the TCG Player ecosystem. I'm glad to. I think we addressed all the points that people made that Chris had noted. Let me see if there was anything else
It was a good and informative conversation. If you have a chance to go back and read through it, it's in mostly the general chat of the QS Discord, Insider Discord. So. A lot more points to be made, but I think we gave a pretty good general synopsis and kind of recap of everything that was kind of said, including our own thoughts. At the end of the day, TCG Player really does kind of need to exist.
He brings up another good point. He's what about how does that affect competition in the marketplace? And
competition.
What he's saying, what I'm getting from his point is that. You have to nobody goes, let me think about what eBay's doing when it comes I have to consider what is the TCG Player price, right? Is that going to affect what I'm selling, especially if I'm a store, right? Do I need to have an e-commerce initiative if I'm a store, right? And just in general, just competition for prices. Like TCG Player is the arbiter of prices now. That's just the way it is. And if you're a store, you're competing in a sense with TCG Player when you go, okay, when I think about you locally or through my website, well, I have to compete with TCG Player. Therefore, I have to take into account their prices. And that's huge. That's huge. That's what I'm saying. Like you can make these semantic points about, well, it's not a monopoly because I can go buy cards from anywhere else. Sure, that's fine. But everything else, TCG Player has basically cornered the market on pricing and e-commerce for Magic as a marketplace. That's it, period. I don't see any other argument. All right, that was our chat. So TCG sets the price. So Mike, yes, sets the price. No, they don't set the price, but basically they are now considered the market price. So rather than going, okay, if I'm gonna sell online, it's an aggregate of our sales. I'm trying to understand what the question is here. I'm looking at Mike's
TCG itself doesn't it's based
on TCG does not set any their number, their market prices and their low is based on listed prices and what has sold. And by the way, that's a good point. Originally TCG Player's algorithms were only based on listed pricing. So TCG low would be literally the lowest price based on LP or better, and then TCG mid was the aggregate price of what was then listed, and what would
which
happen
is now market.
Right. So, it's still TCG mid. Market is now based on sold prices. So the prices of products, the aggregate price of actual sold listings becomes the market price. Okay. So it's and I'm not a TCG expert. I don't know exactly how their algorithm works, but this is what it seems to be. So they still have they have that third now, the third new data point. So no, TCG Player does not set any price. It is an aggregate as well as a reflection of list prices. Would we find a market equilibrium without TCG? In this environment, maybe, but Chaz and I talked about it. Chaz was saying that it was price guides and eBay completes.
No,
was what
how
people
could we?
Were using. Oh.
Oh, I was being rhetorical. Would we find marketing programming? Probably not.
No, we wouldn't.
I mean, well,
I think it's better that we, again, in my opinion, it's better to have a TC player because you are finding more of an equilibrium price for the
I don't think we would, because it would just go back to like, yeah, we lost InQuest and all that, but so it's basically what SCG prices it at?
Yeah.
Or CFP
what would happen?
It would be worse. It would be way worse.
If you had no this is actually a thing to talk about. If you had no TCG player, SCG would become the barometer, and SCG sets their price.
It was at one point, and
it could be argued that and still is. I would say that when people
Just while I have this thought. Yeah, there was a time where SCG was the price of a card. Wait, the set price of a card. Like when you were backpacking, or if you needed to buy a card, people would try to sell it at SCG's price. And then, you know, that's when that whole like, this was back when like extended was a thing, that SCG basically set the price of extended. Like, because whatever SCG was buying up and selling is what you basically had to pay to play any format. So
exactly,
it's basically whatever SCG wanted you to pay.
Exactly. So you want a TCG player because you have a real reflection of the marketplace,
an
or a better reflection of the marketplace than if you have an entity that's setting prices. I mean, that's they could be price
anything's
fixing.
Anything's better once you have an aggregate of.
By the way, I'm not accusing SCG of doing anything shady. SCG's awesome, and I buy from SCG from time to time.
But I mean, when you're the only major vendor, I mean, you do kind of set the price.
Exactly. Exactly.
It wasn't really anything that they were doing shady. Is that they had no competition.
Right. And they weren't, I'm not even going to accuse SCG of going, well, base their prices on this, so it is what it is. SCG was just set their prices. It just so happened that the market followed SCG. And I would rather have the market following a prices that reflect true consumer behavior necessarily than an entity that's setting the price that everybody chooses to go with.
Right.
So yeah, good chat.
And but to further that, I mean, SCG has a bottom line of they need to sell cards too. TCG doesn't need to sell your cards.
Exactly.
TCG is only in it for making their transaction fees and bringing in more sellers and buyers. You know, because they get your fees and what have you. But SCG like had cards to sell. So whether they price a card at $5 or $10. They wanted to sell the card. So if they knew that they could get it for $10, they would definitely put it at $10.
And listen, by the way, the flip side is it's not as simple as, well, damn you TCG, lower your prices. Because play out the scenario in your head of what would happen if TCG went, okay, guys, we're just going to lower the fees. Card prices would go up. Okay.
Yep.
Card prices would go much higher. Okay. You'd have a lot more competition for pricing. They'd probably be even more undercutting.
Yep.
So, you know, there's pros and cons to this. It's not a simple scenario. Do I think they can be lower? Yes, but it's not as simple as, hey, guys, okay, we're just going to chop fee prices, because there are consequences of that. And there will be, you know, market will react. Card prices will go up, right? And we might think, oh, that's great. Card prices go up. But then there's, you know, there's problems with that. I mean, that goes back to the general, kind of a general finance thing. Well, you know, you need card prices to be accessible. And so there's just this delicate balance, and I do think that they are overcharging, but at the same time, it's not as simple as, well, okay, cool, we'll just go in and just chop the fees down. There would be consequences.
Yeah.
All right. Good chat,
man. The advanced form of, if you want to call it a hashtag, like MTG finance or whatever you want to call it, basically save magic.
Yep.
I mean, when you really think about it, man, those were such draconic days. those were pretty draconic days. I really do remember that was pretty tough.
So Mike said my big disagreement with agreement is G has a negative.
But it's not a monopoly. It's only a monopoly on selling like specifically like TCG cards, and they don't even really have a monopoly. It's just the best place to do it. so to speak. I mean, in terms of getting, selling to a specific group of players and people that want that specific item. I mean, eBay, it is one thing, sure, but they're not about selling Magic cards. They're about selling, like, you know, trinkets and hobbies and cars and whatever. They don't really care about, like, they're not tailored to selling Magic cards.
They have the market share and have cornered the market on an e-commerce platform targeted to Magic, TCG, and CCGs. There's no other way around it. That's the facts.
There's nothing else, please
bring arguments suggesting otherwise. There is no other argument about that. That is what they are. Do they have a monopoly on Magic cards, period? No. And I said that multiple times in this chat. TCG Player does not have a monopoly on selling Magic cards.
I don't understand how it's viewed as negative, though.
The negative goes back to the point that because they are in a space that is dominated by microtransactions, their fee structure is too high. That's the negative.
I would say that's fair to say.
The fees need to be high. I think the fees could be lower. They
can be lower. Should they? I don't think so.
Well, the problem is again, it goes back to it. That's the argument is $4 and below cards could end up being a loss to the seller when they factor in their fees. That's the problem.
Well, yeah,
and that is that's the primary space that they're dealing in is microtransaction.
Sure.
TCG is what's wrong with this community. I'm not sure.
I think that's way off base.
I don't agree with that either. Mike, could you elaborate on why you think TCG?
Yeah, but I understand the fee structure being higher, but that ultimately means cheaper cards.
So to clarify for the listeners who aren't in the chat, one of our subs, Mike, is saying.
I get what Mike's saying. That wasn't my argument, just kind of like rehashing what was going on, yeah? Any efforts to get someone on the TCG from TCG on the Avenger series? Yes.
I have. That's we're working on that. We don't know if that's gonna happen.
Nothing's a lock, but yeah, we're definitely trying to do that.
We've initiated an attempt to get someone. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not
all
as
right,
easy.
I think that's yeah. They're not as easy to get.
But yeah. All right, guys, I think that's gonna wrap things up for tonight. We got a couple of things to talk about. So basically this turn went from we didn't know what to talk about in terms of cards, because the last couple of casts, like, every card we literally talked about, like, ended up increasing, and we're just kind of in that, like, limbo period of, like, Standard and all that. But I do think an interesting set for us to kind of return to is and look back on is the latest Commander set, because I really could not believe how cheap a lot of these cards have become. And when you look at it, you know, folks are using some of these cards. They're brewing with some of these cards. They're actually quite powerful, and they're, like, really cheap. And I think finding them, at least now, like, while they're at their bottom, what I would call their bottom right now, is probably a good hold, at least for a time. Definitely cards like let you go first, Tark, because I didn't want to, like, talk about the cards you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, so we both were like, wow, the Commander 2018 Planeswalkers are dirt. I mean, for the most part, they are all dirt. Bottom barrel prices. So we both agree that in general, nearly all of them are sub $5. We like all the ones that are sub $5. I particularly like Saheeli. Saheeli is like $2.50, which is just seems so low to me. And people love their servos. Like, that's a really, really kitschy deck. Yes. So we're on to picks. We're on to picks. Chaz and I both like the Commander 2018 Planeswalkers that are under $5. Okay. I specifically within that set like Saheeli, the Commander 2018 Planeswalker. And I think Chaz has one or two others that he likes.
I'm going with all of them.
Okay.
You could call that like a multi-pick or whatever you want to call that. Like, this is not just an analysis. They are dirt cheap.
They're cheap. I'm with you on that. Basically, But I really like Saheeli. I specifically like that one. But we both are on the train for it. These. I mean, they're like two. There's some of them are $2. There's I think the one that gets +1/+1 for enchantments. Yeah, the one that gets +1/+1 for enchantments, I think, is $2.
Oh, Tuvasa.
I mean, Tuvasa. Now it's not. I'm not saying it's a very good card, but come on, $2, dirt cheap. So yeah, we both like that. I actually have a non-Commander 2018 pick. I think you should start looking at the hour stuff that rotated, which, believe it or not, you got the Locust God in there. Locust God right now is $5. Play it in EDH, really, really good. Foils are like, I think, $8 to $10. So I like both the foils and the non-foils of Locust God. Scarab God, I think, probably still may have some time to get down a little bit lower. It's still kind of pricey, but I really like the look. Everybody's talking about reserve list stuff. I just want to quickly touch on that really quick before we wrap up, Chaz. There was a thread that Jeremy started about how there appears to be this massive fire sale of reserve lists and old school cards. I think that's perfectly normal.
That's not surprising.
I think that was to be expected. I don't think that's surprising in the slightest. If you think that your Ventifact bottles, because I'll use that one because that's the one that everybody's making. If you think that your Ventifact bottle is going to go back to 35 cents, it is. I'm here to tell you it is not. And if it does, please sell them all to me. I will buy all your Ventifact bottles for 35 cents. And I have a hunch that nobody's going to offer to sell them to me because you probably all realize that they're not going back to 35 cents. So the reality is this was to be expected. Card prices are going to depress a bit. Yes. If they start going down a lot, I am aggressively buying in
Efren has 7,500 Ventifact bottles for you.
Cool. DM me.
You're throwing down 35 cents, 7,500?
DM me on 35 cents. I'm in.
35 cents? You're buying all 7,500?
I think he's being hyperbolic and joking.
No, 7,500 Ventifact bottles at 35 cents. Are you
joking? I would negotiate that deal, yes. Yes, I would.
No, 35 cents. You threw down the gauntlet.
Yes, I just said, yes, I would.
No,
I would negotiate a deal. When I say negotiate, meaning I don't know if I can pay him right now one-time fee up front for that. But would I negotiate an agreement to pay out on 7,500, 35? Yes, I would. I absolutely would. Yes.
I thought you were just going to just throw down the cash.
No, I'm not just, I couldn't just do it right now. Nor would I want to. Even if I could,
Then you're not buying Ventifact bottles at 35 cents.
No, I would contract an agreement to buy them. We're getting off topic here. Point of the matter is, your reserve. Please don't sell in fear, thinking that it was a bubble or this or that. While I do agree that those prices were inflated higher than they should have been. Yes, they're not going back. And the reason they're not going back is the limited supply. And the amount of attention that was brought to the reserve list. There were so many eyeballs that got brought into the reserve list. There was so much attention that was brought to it. It's just not going to happen. So I would actually start looking at dual lands. There was a discussion that we had. Shout out to Kip, our moderator, Adrian. He said, be watching out for dual lands come December, the wintertime. They probably have tanked. They've already tanked a bit. I think dual lands are probably going to be a good buy moving into the winter months. So be looking out for that. And this should have been expected. There was no way that these reserve cards were going to be like hyperinflated.
Especially the old school stuff that wasn't reserve list.
Yeah, but are they going to go back to what they were before?
No. If they get anywhere close, I'm buying them.
Yes, anywhere close and I will buy them, especially the legends. These legends cards like Jacques Levert and all these random legends, if those approach anywhere close to what they were before, I will buy. Yeah.
I'm definitely in agreement on that. Dune Oakenshield, like Jacques. Yeah. What was the other one? Damn it.
Because everything's cyclical, and if it's not Ford. April of next year, it'll happen. Everything will jump up in price again. It'll come out of
Master
nowhere.
The Hunt.
Yeah.
All that stuff. I'll just buy it all again.
Yeah.
Fact, I think Willow Seder's back down to probably fine for $50 again. Yeah, I'd buy all that stuff.
So that's my thoughts on the reserve list. I would not fire sell or get out. If you overextend it, I guess apparently the vendors and Jeremy's heavy on the GP circuit, but what I got from the conversation was he talked to a lot of people that just they overextended into the reserve list based on these hyperinflated prices, and now you know, prices are retracing and they've got problems. I mean, look, you know, that is what it is. You should never, and I'm not telling anybody how to run their business. I'm just saying no one should ever overextend into anything that you're not confident you can get rid of. You can't hold on to it for a while.
Listen, let's just call it what it is. I'm not telling anyone how to run their business and all that, but I'm not maxing out credit cards for Magic Cards. I don't give a damn what it is.
It might have been their. It might have been their business. They might be a store, and that's their business credit card.
I mean, I get that, but
used to buy inventory. My point is you should not overextend into any asset that you're not confident you can either hold on to for a long time, that you can sustain, weathering it out for a while, or that you can out, meaningfully.
If I can't own a Lotus without maxing a credit card, I'm fine without owning a Lotus. I'm okay with that. I'm so good with that. I'm not putting a Lotus on a credit card.
Yeah, so.
I'm not putting any Magic cards on a
credit card. Well, or put a Lotus on a credit card if you're paying that price for the Lotus over time. I mean, you know, like, I'm just saying, like, I don't know what
I wouldn't do that.
People that did that, you know? Yes, a house probably is much more practical.
Yeah, definitely. There's a million more practical things to put on a credit card. But anyway, yeah, so... going back real quick, if Card Kingdom has all of these cards priced under $5, you could probably get really good deals on some of the Walkers and some of the marquee mythics of the Commander set.
Yeah.
So
these Commander 2018 cards are so cheap.
If Card Kingdom is charging $229 on Estrid, you could probably find them for like a buck something.
$150, yeah. $175.
Oh, gosh, that just seems so low. I would stash a few of those away just for, safekeeping.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a confidence level on this. So just this is for bio in particular. And I don't really know how long it would take for these to increase. But at $1.50, it probably doesn't even matter. They're probably just good to stash away for X amount of time. Like, it doesn't even matter.
So Mythic Editions released. I avoided all of that. I didn't want to be hassled with it. Apparently, Guilds of Ravnica Mythic boxes. So apparently, a lot of people did well. I avoided it. I'm curious. Can someone tell me what the state of the market is on those now? Like, are they still $500 for the box?
Yeah. I mean, okay. Listen, you weren't going to lose money on this. It was just how much you were going to make.
Right, but are they so the
they're still box they're set, still basically a double up.
So a box, if I wanted to buy a box set of them, they're $500. But if I just wanted to buy the
Planeswalkers, for $500.
Yeah. Okay. Did you sell them as a box set?
I sold one sealed at $500 cash, and okay. I sold the other. I probably got lucky with the actual just individual sales. Probably net it closer to high fives. I have to double check, but
it will be cheaper if you buy the Walkers instead of trying to get the set as a collectible item, as a piece, right? I'm assuming
at this point,
or is it about the same?
It's still about the same, I think. It might be slightly cheaper, but again, you don't get the 24 guild packs,
right?
But if you don't care about that stuff.
So it's about the same or slightly cheaper if you just buy
about the same or slightly cheaper. Yeah. Now, because the sets are going for $5, they were going for $6 for a little while.
However, they're selling these at GPs until the end of the year, right?
They're basically all sold out, but yeah.
Okay. So they're selling them to the end of the year, and are they sold out across the board?
They're pretty much, they're sold out. I think there's maybe one GP left. If that, I think they're all sold out.
Okay. Got it. So my question, this is a question to the listeners and to you, Chaz, is what is the price point? What do you predict the price point will be, we'll say February or March of next year, or even April? We'll say 3 to 6 months. After they sold through at the GPs in December. So 3 to 6 months, so January until...
I think December's the last GP that you could pick these up. Am I wrong? Okay. I think it's December. I think they don't go much lower than $500. I really don't.
I feel like we were gonna have a SDCC effect or a Hascon effect where they're hot out the gate And they're not all out the gate yet. That's the thing. We have until like peak supply hasn't necessarily hit because people won't get them all until December, until end of the year. But then when everybody has them and they hit the marketplace, all the supply hits the market, I feel like maybe they're going to drop down to like 350, 400.
No, there's no way.
You don't think so?
It costs you 270 to buy it. No one's going to be selling it for 350.
I mean, aren't all the San Diego Walkers not double ups anymore?
They've always been double ups.
Even well past, like even now?
I don't know about the Bolas one, but I think from a few people in the Insider Discord, they made money off that one too.
No, I know, but I'm saying well past release and, right? Like, are they still double ups now? Like, if I held on to my SDCC Walker set and I tried to sell now, would it be a double up? I really don't know because I'm not in this, I don't deal with these products. Yes.
Or more. It depends on which one it was. If it's some of the earlier ones, I think they're even more than double.
But the newer ones, like the 2017 or 18. Newer ones,
yeah, probably still a double up. Let me just see. SDCC.
Just say like 2018, 2017.
Walker set. TCG player. They are.
Try 27. Try 2017 because that's a year.
There's two available at, like 300. It's double. They're like 105 to buy.
Is that on eBay the same thing? I'm just curious.
eBay?
I'll check. I'm going to check the 2017. I'm very curious about this.
I'm going to double check what I bought them for, but I think it was like 108 or something like that for the Walker
SDCC
set.
SDCC 2017 Planeswalkers.
You can just buy a list of Walkers to CK for 178. So that's $100 right there, pretty much.
That's credit? Here we go. Here we go. eBay. Okay, $300. $300 seems to be the... Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they're still double ups or more.
Yeah.
So we're looking at at probably $450 to $500 for these. This is going to be the price point.
232 credit, and the SDC set was 104.91. Yep.
That's for the set, not in.
So it was 91.99 plus tax and shipping. So 104.91, and you're selling them for 300 today.
And that's if that's in the box, right? That's not cracked individually.
That's in the box, yeah.
Okay. So the argument could be made that the individual Mythic Guilds Planeswalkers might drop, but if you have the box set, it's still going to be probably around 400.
The only one that's really
going to
really tank is probably Duretti.
Poor Duretti. Card's just never worth anything.
It's really stinky, but the other one should hold pretty, like, fairly strong.
Okay, cool.
I mean, yeah, this was never about like if you're gonna lose money on this, and there's no way.
We're not losing.
Even
not
with
losing
the undercutting, there's no way. Even with the undercutting, they're gonna go that much below four. Like, I don't ever see them going past below 500. Like, you can't sell it for 350. You won't even make anything.
Yeah,
it's like literally buying it and just handing it to someone else.
Yeah.
Like, why would you even do that? I wouldn't even sell it at that point. No, I don't see this going much below 500, even like 3 to 4 months from now.
Okay, yeah, we should wrap it up.
It's definitely getting long. Yeah, I'm tired. But yeah, let's wrap that up. So SD, or oh my gosh, Commander 28, Commander, what are we?
2018.
Oh my god. Yeah, the Walkers. I like them. Even some of the marquee mythics like Tavassa, Varina. They're like dirt cheap,
and I like the Locust God, both foil and non-foil.
Okay,
and the Commander 20. All right, guys.
All right, that's it. Good night. Get out of here. I'm done. We'll pick this up tomorrow morning ish.
All right, see you guys.
All right. Good night. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.